Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. Nice to be with you. It's going to be a balmy 46 today. We're coming out of this thing, baby. Good to be with you, Sean Pendergast. Seth Payne, good morning, my friend. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm glad that looks like all but about 6,000 or 7,000 people have power restored. Other than those of you who neglected to pay your bill, which that's a whole different struggle you're going under, but it's no less a struggle. So for all of you 6,000 who don't have power and it's out of your control, we're with you. We haven't forgotten about you. And for everybody else, just good luck. Hopefully it'll pick back up.
Yeah. Well, it's getting a little warmer. Got ours back at 4 a.m. yesterday, and starting to feel human again. So it's... It's all good, man. It's all good. We got a lot of stuff to get into on a Friday here on the show. Right after we got off the air yesterday, Seth, feels like this happens a lot. Right after we got off the air yesterday, the quarterback carousel that had been kind of stuck for a little bit started turning again. And we've got company now in the AFC South. What do you think of Carson Wentz coming to the Indianapolis Colts there?
My first instinct is to say, all right, look, he was just abysmal. He was awful. There was nothing about his supporting cast or injuries on the offensive line that excuse just how bad he was last year. And yet, there is good in him. We've seen this in 2016 when he was, or 2017 when he's a potential MVP candidate. And I had a friend of mine, one of my college quarterbacks, Scott Carroll. He's a Philly guy. He texted me yesterday. He said he's going to be awesome with Reich, and I said you're crazy, Scott. And then I insulted him about some stuff he had done in college. His contention is that, and I've seen this before. Other people have had this that is just his. He had just completely lost his confidence. His mechanics had gone all to hell. When you see a guy that can't complete screen passes, you know, that just like bouncing the ball off the turf, who was previously good, yeah, usually there's some reason for it. So I think he'll be better with Reich, and Reich was the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia when Philadelphia was a Super Bowl champion and still very good. He's going to be reunited with him, and I think he's going to be better than last year. I don't know if he'll ever be an MVP candidate again, but he's going to be better than he was last year.
Yeah, I think for those who don't know what the details of the deal are, Carson Wentz goes from Philadelphia to Indianapolis. Indianapolis sends Philadelphia a third-round pick this year and then a conditional pick in 2022. It's a second-round pick right now, but if Carson Wentz gets, I think, 75% of the snaps or 70% of the snaps, but they make the playoffs, then it goes from a second to a first-round pick. I think it's a hell of a deal for the Colts. I think Chris Ballard did another really nice job here.
I like the contingency thinking. I don't know if that works for the Texans at all with Deshaun Watson. It would almost have to be in reverse there, where like if a team got where the Texans are going to be is saying, well, Deshaun's worth like 7 first round picks, but obviously you're never going to get that. But what if we trade Deshaun to some team? And the problem is that Deshaun all of a sudden makes them a contender, then we're the first round picks next year is a low first round pick. Maybe we say, hey, if Deshaun takes your team to the playoffs and if they win a Super Bowl, then you throw in a couple of twos or a three or something like that.
I'd be down with that, and that's something another team should think about doing, because if you win a Super Bowl, then all bets are off as far as whatever the deal was. You feel good about the deal even if you end up giving up a whole damn draft for the thing. So
Yeah. I think the biggest lesson here for me is that this is yet another domino to fall in all of these arguments by old school NFL people that, well, they'll never trade this guy because it's too much of a hit. They'll never trade this guy because it's an admission that they did wrong. Well, as of yesterday, The number one and number two overall picks from the 2016 draft had been traded away. The Eagles are taking a $33.8 million dead cap hit. It's the largest dead cap hit any team's ever taken for a player. All of the old rules have just been completely thrown out the window. So whenever you have this knee-jerk reaction to say, well, they'll never trade Antonio Brown, it's too much of a hit. They'll never trade Odell Beckham Jr., it's too much of a hit. They'll never trade Matt Stafford, and on and on and on. They're trading these guys. Now, Deshaun would still be far above and beyond the level and caliber of any other quarterback who's ever been traded by his team, especially just less than a year after signing a new contract. But all the old rules, for whatever it's worth, have completely been thrown out the
yeah,
window.
Yeah, and look, if you said you lay that out, if you're a Texans fan, that trend you just laid out means that Deshaun's going to get traded. You know, if salary cap, and by the way, the hit that the Texans would take in trading Deshaun is $21.6 million. That's the
relative,
cap that they would take.
A relative pittance.
Yes, compared to the Wentzian cap hit that the Eagles just took. That's funny. So the first thing you think of is just the kind of the new world that we're living in. Seth, the first thing I thought of when I saw what the Colts were giving up for Carson Wentz, because the story going into yesterday had been that Chris Ballard's not budging. This is the offer, yeah. And you take it or leave it. And Howie Roseman flinched, and he took the offer. And what it got me thinking was, man, this AFC South that the Texans are dealing with here, from a managerial standpoint, from both a head coaching and general manager standpoint, they better be getting ready to play some chess, because they ain't playing checkers in this division anymore, man. And it just goes to show you what a freaking clown show the Texans had been at general manager. They were trying to deal with guys like Chris Ballard with Bill O'Brien as their general manager.
Yeah, can you imagine?
When you see something like yesterday unfold with Carson Wentz and Chris Ballard just sitting at the poker table, just looking at Howie Roseman going, nope, I don't think you got the cards, Howie. I don't think you got those kings. I'm just going to stare at you till you fold. And Howie Roseman folded, and I started thinking, man, Nick Caserio, you better be the real deal, because you're dealing with adults here at the table, man. And Chris Ballard is really, really good at his job, man.
And the thing I thought, Sean, was, as there were these reports that Ballard just wasn't going to budge. And I know Colts fans have been frustrated that they think Ballard is too patient. At least some Colts fans. I couldn't help think, boy, Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby would have gotten Chris Ballard fired in
they
in the blink of an eye.
That's not an exaggeration.
Would have been like, yeah. Yeah. How come we haven't traded everything for everybody now? Now.
Yes.
I want it now.
Yes.
Gosh, it's a diabetic personality. They have a type 2 diabetic personality.
It is.
They need their sugar rush. They're just addicted. Yeah. Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby were just addicted to the sugar of trades and acquisitions and getting rid of anybody. It just, no, you know what it is, Sean? They've done all these studies that show delayed gratification. Mm-hmm. The ability to delay gratification is one of the biggest variables in whether you'll be a happy person or not. People who can delay gratification tend to be pretty happy. Hmm. Does Bill O'Brien look like a happy person to you?
No.
No. As a general manager, was he a guy who was able to delay gratification?
No.
No. Okay. Not,
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Studies proven.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah. That's science. We call that science. So Carson Wentz is now in the AFC South. So the four quarterbacks, as of right now, in the AFC South, I guess that's the one good thing we can say about the Texans, Seth, is that for now, they still do have the best quarterback in the division. I think it goes Deshaun Watson, Ryan Tannehill, Trevor Lawrence, Carson. I'm putting Trevor Lawrence above Carson Wentz right now.
Carson Wentz until he proves otherwise.
He's got work to do.
It is worth mentioning, too, by the way, as good a year as Deshaun had passing the ball yesterday, I can't reiterate enough times that they did not have a good offense.
Right.
So that it's not as simple as, hey, if Deshaun's back, everything will be cool. The Colts were 10th in total offense and 9th in scoring last year. The Texans were 17th through 19th in total scoring.
Yeah.
So the Colts were ranked twice as high in doing it with a non-Deshaun Watson-type quarterback. So with Carson Wentz, if they can reclaim some of his form from a couple of years ago, then presumably the Colts will still be a better offense, with or without Deshaun Watson.
Quick one for you that they asked me on a station in Nashville yesterday. I was on in Nashville yesterday, and they asked me, does Carson Wentz make you more nervous, as somebody who's rooting for a team in the same division, because they obviously are in the same division, does Carson Wentz make you more nervous, less nervous, or the same amount of nervous as a Texan fan than bringing Phillip Rivers back would have made you? How do you feel about the Colts now with Wentz as opposed to 40-year-old Phillip Rivers?
Yeah, I think the upside of Wentz is higher.
Yeah.
But I would feel, just in general, I feel like they would have had a better percentage chance with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
So it's boomer bust with Carson Wentz. So yeah, I'd be more, I hate using it. You always, Sean, you always do this. You phrase these, are you nervous? Are you scared?
Yeah.
Look, I ain't no wimp.
Yeah. See, I am. I'm a huge wimp. So if I
were to get nervous, I'd be more nervous about Phillip Rivers.
Your answer is none of the above because I don't get scared. How you like
scared
them
of
apples?
Nothing.
That's right.
Call me Yella.
J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt's a free agent. Next matchup in the Watt free agency fan bracket. Ooh, I need to put that up right now. A reminder to myself to put that up during the break. So I'm going to put that up on our Twitter feed, at Sports Radio 610. We're heading over to the NFC over the next few days. And the overall favorite is in the matchup. We will preview it as soon as I put it up on Twitter. Next. All right, I got the poll up. I usually do it right before the show. I guess I was just basking in the glow of soon-to-be 45-degree temperatures. I got a little, kind of lost myself a little bit in the moment. But the matchup is up. The bracket matchup is up. The J.J. Watt free agency fan bracket, where you get to choose where J.J. Watt plays football next. And we've got the entire AFC is all set. So we've got our semifinal matchup set over on the AFC side of the bracket. We now move over to the NFC side, where we've got 8 NFC teams that are going to battle it out over the next 3-4 days. The first matchup, Seth, is the 1 seed on our NFC side of the bracket against the 8 seed on the NFC side of the bracket. It is the Green Bay Packers, who I think are the overall favorite in this thing, against the New Orleans Saints, which makes this interesting because this is people in Houston choosing where they want J.J. Watt to play. I wonder if we will get some Saints fans showing up on the poll.
I don't think so, because if they are Saints fans, they understand that the Saints are in genuine cap hell.
Oh,
like it's rare.
Yeah.
It's rare these days for teams to actually be in cap hell. Usually it's, yeah, everybody's been reframing it and saying, okay, there. I'll say, oh, you're snug up against the cap, but you can work your way out of it. The Saints are currently $69 million over the cap. Well, over the projected cap. Maybe they'll get a little bit of relief if the cap, the floor has been set on the cap, but we don't know exactly what the total cap is going to be.
Yeah.
So, I don't think they've got money in the coffers for J.J. Watt this year. Unless they're going to field a team of like 24 people and hope that guys will go double platoon here and there.
They don't have money for a Snickers bar. Like, they don't have money, like $69 million over the cap. Dude, yeah. If I was a current member of the New Orleans Saints, I would definitely be renting, not buying. They're going to have to cut a lot of guys.
I wonder what they're going to do. I wonder what they're going to do with Drew Brees when he retires. Officially, right? Is he officially retired?
I don't know if he's officially retired.
I don't know if they've dealt with his contract yet.
I thought I'd seen some story. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on the details. I thought I'd seen some story about them doing a restructure of some
sort. Even if he retires, they're going to have to figure out a way. They'll be paying him like 4 years from now.
Yeah.
And people in New Orleans are probably like, hey, maybe Drew, as his last act of charity, will just forego all the money he's owed.
This is from February the 6th, so the Saturday before the Super Bowl. Drew Brees mulling NFL retirement, Saints restructure contract to free up millions in cap space. Yeah. So they've already started doing stuff to free up cap space. So Packers versus the Saints in the poll. Seth, what is your projection here? Do you think the Packers win in a blowout?
This would be an incredible upset. There would be somebody hacking into our system if the Packers don't win this.
Yeah. And I feel like Saints Packers, fans are probably too drunk to hack into anything right now.
I'm guessing, I wonder. Yeah, and that's not even an insult.
No.
I don't think Saints fans would take that as an insult.
Say it as a compliment, yeah.
I'm jealous of your ability to stay drunk but stay happy the entire time.
Yep.
I'm happy when I'm drunk, but then I get very, very grumpy. Mm-hmm. So that's why I've had to tamp back on it. I feel like Saints fans are like, hey, you never get hung over if you never stop being drunk.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Green Bay's just too perfect. It's too perfect a situation for J.J. And that's kind of where I'm rooting for him to go, because I think it'd be a cool story. Super Bowl contender, MVP at quarterback, rabid, as you pointed out, rabid nationwide fan base. So it's a fan base that presents marketing opportunities, even though it's a really small market. JJ grew up rooting for them. His family could drive up there and watch him play. He's got
good
Za'Darius Smith on the other side.
A likely chance or a realistic chance that he would never end up facing the Texans if he plays three more years?
Three more. Three, they, 2024 will be the next time those – no, wait. 2024, yeah, will be the next time those two teams play. Yeah.
They were – honestly, I had to think – I had to double-check in my brain. There's something about that Green Bay game that feels like it never actually happened. I don't know. Like, I've had to do that a few times this year with a couple games where I'm like, everything was so weird this year. Everything was so strange. It almost felt artificial or like a dream. So, yeah, it'll be three more years before they face the Packers again.
How many more years do you think JJ has in him? As long as you bring it up.
I think he'd probably be willing to play for 10 more years.
Sure.
It doesn't seem like he's gotten sick or tired of it at all.
Right.
It's just a matter of when his body – he's had a lot of trauma on his body. He's had a lot of surgeries, and that all adds up. You don't even necessarily realize it at the time because you feel like, okay, I came back from this injury. Now I'm out there. I'm fully recovered. But the cumulative toll that it takes – It starts to get you in your mid-30s for guys that have had a lot of surgeries and a lot of injuries. You know, the guys that play into their late 30s, like Bruce Matthews or what have you, like linemen, not quarterbacks, but linemen who play into their late 30s, they generally have been remarkably healthy. The Rams, Jackie Slater, you know, Jackie Slater was healthy those whole 20 years that he played. Bruce Matthews was relatively healthy that whole 20 years that he played. JJ obviously hasn't been, so I think 35. If I were a gambling man, 35 years old might be the cap for him.
Three would be my choice. I would say 3 years, and I guess the question becomes then, Seth, do you think JJ? Let's say he's got enough in the tank to play 3 years, but he wins a Super Bowl in 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Is JJ Watt a walkout on top guy, or if he still has another year left in the tank, does he come back for another year? Is he addicted to football guy, or is he walkout on top guy?
I don't think the walkout on top guy is actually very rare, right? Because most of the guys that you think of that need to walk out on top, like if they're in that category of player, if they're that great, they tend to be pretty driven to keep competing.
Right.
And it still drives me insane to this day when I think about all the people that said after the Broncos' first Super Bowl victory, you gotta retire now, Elway. You gotta walk out on top. And then, okay, he comes back. They win another Super Bowl. And then the same damn people the next year are saying, you gotta walk out on top now.
Well,
Elway.
Did that.
No. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But if he wanted to, now that was a guy that was beat to hell, and you know he could have come back for another year. Nobody ever says like anywhere in the first part of your eulogy. You know, the important thing was that he walked out on top. It was just like it's a nice little extra at the end.
Yeah. So Packers and Saints, and we'll go through the NFC throughout the rest of the week, but. Boy, Seth, these people are thirsty for J.J. Watt. All the Deshaun Watson calls that you and I were getting over the last few weeks, they're J.J. Watt calls now from out-of-market. I did a Cleveland show before our show this morning already. I've already done one out-of-market hit before we even started our show today.
It's fun to watch people's mentions when, like yesterday, J.J. tweeted out a video of, I think it was T.J. They actually, when they're wearing winter gear, it's hard to tell them apart from a distance. But I think it was T.J. shoveling J.J.'s walk, and J.J. was basically giving him a compliment, as J.J.'s dog was frolicking in the snow behind him. But the best comment I saw was, weird, what was it? There were a bunch of... basically, anybody that was in the North thought that this was a sign that J.J. was coming to Cleveland or Pittsburgh or Green Bay or anywhere else. But it looked like he was probably up at his Wisconsin place.
I was on in Green Bay yesterday, and it is like – this is the best analogy that I can make. And college football fans will appreciate this. If you're a fan of your college football team and you follow recruiting, you know there's always that five-star recruit, that five-star quarterback that's considering your school and like three or four other schools – and you're just any bit of news. You're on message boards. You're looking for things. You're looking for signs. Like you just said, Seth, you're looking at social media to try to read the tea leaves and things like that. That's what it's like in Wisconsin right now with JJ. They've got a hashtag Watt Watch going on. They're like super nervous. This is like they're recruiting a five-star out of high school, and they're waiting to see which ball cap he grabs and puts on his head up
what
in Wisconsin.
It is like, What if it is like high school, though, and J.J. gets up there and Aaron Rodgers doesn't like new competition from a potential alpha, and there starts to be there's a division between teams. Aaron gets all emo about, you know how he goes. He gets all mopey about the fact that J.J.'s getting attention. He doesn't like that.
Or he winks.
What's the likelihood of that?
He winks at Kalia during the press conference, starts hitting on his chick. Yeah.
Good high school trim. Rodgers engaged?
Did Danica
get quickly engaged or something? No, they broke up.
They did?
Splitsville for those two.
Then I don't know. If I don't know who he's with, then I don't know.
You got to keep up with this. This is the only thing that's worth. Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley got engaged.
Seth, by the time the Texans regular season rolls around, nobody's going to be better versed in pop culture than me, because that's what I'm going to have to immerse myself in to make the pain of the football go away.
Us Weekly. Yeah, no kidding. We should dive into this for a good half hour. Jodie Foster reacts to Aaron Rodgers thanking her in the Shailene Woodley engagement. I don't know what any of that means. Okay. I don't know who Shailene Woodley is or why Jodie Foster is involved. Shailene Woodley Jodie Foster's ex? This is fascinating.
I don't know. That is your project. All right. When the Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins, they put out a set of notes to the media justifying the trade. There's a huge Deshaun Watson article in The Athletic that rehashed those notes. How much or how little of the justification for the Hopkins trade came true? That's next. Really good piece on The Athletic yesterday. Long piece, but a really good, informative kind of recap piece, insightful piece by Jason Jenks, Aaron Reese, and Mike Sando about Deshaun Watson. And the title of the piece is, as we pull it up, Shattered Trust, How Deshaun Watson Lost Faith in the Houston Texans. I would have ample amounts of alcohol nearby if that's your thing as you read this. The very first two words of this piece are, oh bleep, oh S-word. And it's the quote from Quincy Avery, Deshaun Watson's quarterback coach, that he said when he picked up his phone back in March of last year and looked at it, getting the news that DeAndre Hopkins had been traded to the Arizona Cardinals. Which leads me to believe that Quincy Avery was interviewed for this piece, because there's only two people that would know that those were the first two words out of Quincy's mouth. Quincy Avery and Deshaun Watson. They're the only ones that would know those were the words.
A bystander in the gym when they were working out. Maybe. Were they outside or inside?
It looked like they were inside.
Yeah, they were inside.
They were in Atlanta in March, so it looked like they were inside. So this starts with the DeAndre Hopkins trade, and it would logically, any sort of mistrust that Deshaun has is A, very justified, and B, the roots of it can probably be traced back to the trade for the trade of DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson and a second round pick. They, in this piece, and we're going to dig into some of the nuggets in here. It's a really, really good piece. I can't recommend it highly enough. The probably the most hilarious and yet infuriating part was a rehash of some notes that the Texans put out, which have Jack Easterby's fingerprints all over them. Some notes that the team put out to the media shortly after the Hopkins trade. I'm assuming after they kind of did that thing where they, you know, you lick your finger and you put it in the air to see which way the wind is blowing. After they did that and a tornado-like gust hit them in the face of criticism, they said, boy, we need to put out our side of the story on this thing.
Which is so hilarious, because like ever since Jack Easterby came into this organization, some of their attempts to tamp down controversy or to say, hey, nothing to see here, have just been so woefully misguided. Oh. And it's one of those other things that leads you to the question, wait a second, I thought Jack Easterby was supposed to be good at this stuff. Like I thought he was actually supposed to have a way with people, but every step along the way, it seems like he has no clue how human beings actually operate. Because a lot of these notes that they had put out, they don't make a lot of sense.
No.
And at the time they didn't make a lot of sense, but they look hilarious now. When they kind of tried to spin this trade as if it was no big deal.
Okay. Now just to refresh the details here, it was DeAndre Hopkins. It was DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth round pick in 2020 for David Johnson, a second round pick, and a fourth round pick in 2021 this year.
Right, right. Which so is fun. The fourth round pick actually gets to be a lot of fun when you listen to these notes. Pay attention. Just remember, the Texans gave up a fourth round pick, but got back a 2021 fourth round pick.
Right.
So they gave up a fourth round pick last year, but they get back one for 2021. Correct? I'm all right. I'm
yes,
right there.
Yes, okay. You're right about that.
And it gets hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're probably wondering, why are you bringing up that minute detail? Because they spend five bullet points trying to justify the fourth round pick. It's hilarious.
Making it seem like it was a coup.
Steve Keim's playing Candyland and we're playing chess.
This is because Keim doesn't even know or understand the magic we pulled off with that fourth round
swap. Does he even realize how much they're going to suck next year? All right. So let's go through this here real quick. Some of the details from the media release from the Texans on the DeAndre Hopkins trade. This is from last March. The section, this section on the Hopkins trade mentioned that the pick that Houston acquired from Arizona was only 18 spots lower than the pick that Minnesota acquired for receiver Stephon Diggs the same day.
Only 18 picks. Only 18 picks. Just two-thirds of a draft. That's all. Two-thirds of a round of a draft. That's all. Only.
It's still 18 spots. For a receiver, by the way, who is not as good as DeAndre Hopkins. Like, Stephon Diggs is not as good as DeAndre. I know he's really good this year, but at the time, he was the number two receiver in Minnesota.
Yeah.
All right. So,
yeah. No. It's the whole. Honestly, no matter what the trade was, just putting only 18 spots lower is like there's a theme here where you're going to see these guys don't understand probability
at all.
Like they're thinking the way somebody sometimes thinks, where they're like, well, hey, second round picks. Yeah. You know, look at Chase Claypool. Yeah. He's a second round pick, and they act like, oh, that makes it better than a first round pick.
Right.
Because you'll find episodes like, hey, he's better than Kevin Johnson, and he was a first round pick. Like, no, you got to understand probability.
Yeah. So next bullet point in the DeAndre Hopkins trade: acquired a very valuable second round pick in 2020, 40th overall.
Yep.
Yeah, very valuable, but not nearly the value you need to get for DeAndre Hopkins.
Right. Plus, as far as that 18 spots lower part two, remember that you were also taking on a bloated David Johnson contract. In reality, the way the kind of the calculus works out, it was way lower than you were actually like a full round lower when you factor in that you're buying somebody's contract.
We'll get to David Johnson.
Okay.
Seth, this pick that they got was in an area. This is the Texans talking. This is Easterby. Area of the draft.
We don't know. Easterby is involved in these statements and everything.
Fingerprints. Area of the draft where you still get, quote, first round talent, but the contract is less money.
Thanks. Like, again, that's something that he read on The Ringer or something. And instead of like recognizing that, hey, yeah, there is value. Like, sometimes it's, especially in a deep draft, that like that's sometimes it works out better that you get that lower value.
Yeah.
And you know, on a quote unquote first round talent. But again, statistics, probability. It is not a first round pick.
Seth, by this rule, you should never want to be in the first round. You should just want to be in the second round taking first round talent.
Yeah, by Easterby's logic, you should always trade back into around the 40 spot because, hey, it's super, super cheap.
And it's cheaper, yeah. Next bullet point. This is the release the Texans put out in March justifying the DeAndre Hopkins trade. We'll bring the 40th overall pick will bring a very talented, young, and cheap player to Houston for the next 4 years.
Okay, so this is where we have to think about the pick that they did. Ross Blacklock has potential. I'm going to wait on him. I'm hoping that he takes another step forward this year. He has potential. But so far it hasn't panned out that way. And again, I'll go back to just understanding the probability of the draft. Don't tell me a second-round pick will bring a very talented, young, and cheap player
100%
to Houston.
Chance.
Right. Again, it's that toxic positivity of these guys that don't get the probability of it. That's like saying that just because, look, Bregman's up at the plate, he's definitely going to hit a home run because he's a good hitter.
Right.
You don't understand probability. If you think that second round pick will definitely be a great player.
Yeah.
And it's just insulting. It's so insulting that they think that people are going to be dumb enough to buy this stuff.
They mix this bullet point in, not quite sure why, because they didn't use the pick on a wide receiver, but they mentioned this is the deepest wide receiver class in years. Which is very true. It was a deep receiver class.
It was. Yeah. A bunch of great, bunch of good second rounders this year that ended up producing. But the Texans, Bill O'Brien, this is all, it's not all Jack Easterby here, obviously. Bill O'Brien was so terrified that you can't rely on rookies, like any of these second round rookies that actually ended up producing, and was so terrified that in COVID circumstances that you definitely couldn't rely on these rookies, that they went ahead and traded for, instead of drafting a wide receiver, they traded for Brandon Cooks.
Okay, so this is the Texans' justification back in March for the Hopkins trade, and we're seeing how much of it came true. Oh, by the way, Seth, this is the deepest wide receiver class in years. How much do you think, like, if Easterby sees this and sees that we're rehashing these bullet points, that they try to convert Ross Blacklock to wide receiver this year?
He'll be one of those guys. Or he'll be one of those – they'll try to be like one of those college players that can go out and cover slots every now and then.
Yes,
you know?
Okay, this is where it gets fun. Acquiring Arizona's 2021 fourth-round pick was an important part of the deal that nobody talks about.
Yeah, okay. I wonder why nobody's talking about that. It's just, that's an important part of the deal, everybody. Like, does nobody get that? Does nobody understand that?
Here's why. Nobody's talking about it. That's a segment for Landry and Lopez.
Gosh.
Here's why this fourth round pick is so important. It should be a better draft pick than the fourth round pick that we gave up this year.
Oh, should it? Because, as they note, Arizona is in a very tough decision. So the pick has a chance to be pretty high.
Yeah.
Like, that, to say nothing of the fact that it's a pick a year later.
Yeah.
Or that...
How about this? They needed the fourth-round pick in 2021 because they needed more draft capital for 2021 since we don't have a first or second-round pick.
Plus,
as if the league took away the first and second-round pick.
Plus, especially they're talking about fourth rounders. Like, they're saying, like, hey, it was okay. That swap was really good because we're going to get a fourth round pick back and we need more draft capital. I mean, like, you mean to replace the fourth round pick you're giving up in this very deal? God. It's just, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable. These are the people running your team. This is Jack Easterby.
Yeah.
This is the guy that's advising Cal McNair and Nick Cassero. He doesn't get things. He doesn't understand things.
This is the guy who makes trades in a fantasy league that the commissioner of the league has to step in and go, you can't make this trade. You're going to ruin the competitive balance of our fantasy league.
I get a sense that at times agents have probably had to explain to Jack Easterby things you can and cannot do, like in a contract negotiation. Like, oh, actually, Jack, we're not allowed to do that. You should probably know that, but I'm not going to say that out loud because, boy, we got you by the cojones. Hey, how about you give Deshaun a no trade clause?
that's funny right there. Okay. All right. Here's where it gets good. The David Johnson paragraph. David Johnson will be our starting... By the way, if you're just tuning in, just getting in your car, Seth and I, there's an article in The Athletic about Deshaun Watson losing faith in the Texans that goes back through a media release the Texans put out justifying the DeAndre Hopkins trade last March. Here is the paragraph on David Johnson. David Johnson will be our starting running back and a key part of the offense. He is a tough, smart, dependable player, and we needed a running back after letting Carlos Hyde leave.
Hmm.
By the way, they didn't mention after Carlos Hyde left and rejected our way too high offer for Carlos Hyde. They don't mention
Carlos
that.
Carlos Hyde left and, yeah.
After Carlos Hyde rejected our two-year, $10 million offer, how much did Carlos Hyde get from the Seahawks? Like $4 million over one. Anyways.
Plus, I love, like, we needed a running back. Oh, did you have to spend $12 million on a running back? I don't understand how those are the same things.
Continuing, David Johnson was Arizona's Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year nominee in 2019 while not playing the role he desired. Very high character and good teammate. And I don't want to poo-poo that because then it drags. I feel bad for David Johnson, honestly.
Yeah.
He's getting, like, it's not his fault that they're still paying him the $12 million last year. It's not his fault that he's a good dude who's just not great at football anymore. It's not his fault that he's got a charlatan trying to justify his existence as the starting running back for this football team. And I'll be honest with you, I love the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. J.J. Watt won it a few years ago. I love good dudes on my team. I don't love trading DeAndre Hopkins for a dude because he's a good dude. I need the dude to be good at football. But anyways, that got mixed into the paragraph here, Seth. He's very high character, good teammate.
They also, in justifying the David Johnson part of the trade, said, hey, he played for two different head coaches and two different offenses the last 2 years, which impacted production. And both were first-time head coaches. Well, it's worth noting that two other running backs performed much, much better than David Johnson under that first-year head coach just the year prior. God. So I think that's honestly the worst part of this trade by far for me was the fact that they thought David Johnson was going to be a good feature back for them and that it was worth that money. Like I always thought that, all right, it's a bad trade, and they took that on as part of the trade. But they actually believed that David Johnson was going to come in here and provide them something, despite clear evidence on film the last 2 years that he didn't have anything close to what he had in 2016.
Man, that release felt weird at the time, and now it's comedy. I mean, it's just ridiculous to go back and read that. Like every single bullet point justifying that trade is a comedic yarn. It's ridiculous.
It's all what we had all, you know, what we've seen all along is that O'Brien and Easterby together just looked at every situation and evaluated it as, well, hey, and if the best case scenario works out, this could be awesome. So without really having any understanding of value, without understanding any value of anything about market, and really without understanding risk. And that quote about that second round pick not being as big a deal because it's just as good, or it's because it's cheaper than first round talent, but it's just as good as first round talent.
Yeah.
Like that shows you that they just have an inept understanding of the laws of probability.
What did you think of Quincy Avery's tweet yesterday? For those who didn't see it, Quincy Avery tweeted yesterday, what's the criteria for a quarterback asking to get traded, then actually getting traded, asking for a friend? And I think that's in response to seeing Carson Wentz get traded yesterday and then Matt Stafford get traded a couple weeks ago. Quincy Avery, by the way, Deshaun Watson's personal quarterback coach and very good friend.
I think a lot of some people interpret that as whether he was making it a racial comment or not, saying that, hey, the white guys asked to get released and they didn't. I don't know. I don't know what he was trying to do there. And Aaron Wilson in his article said that Quincy Avery was just joking and it was just a joke. Like, which I guess would imply that it's just all he's saying is like, yeah, like he wants to get traded. So the common denominator here, or I guess the non-common denominator, would be Matt Stafford is old and the Lions are trying to move forward without their old quarterback. And Carson Wentz was horrible last year. So Deshaun Watson is like young and awesome. So that's the biggest difference. And other than that, I didn't really know what to make of that.
The frustrating thing for me, and by the way, Quincy Avery was scheduled to come on with Clint Sterner in the show yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour, and then he canceled, and I believe he canceled because Deshaun's camp said, why don't you hold off on doing these conversations about this stuff?
Yeah, I think at some point, Deshaun's personal quarterbacks coach, I don't think, in my opinion, should be all that opinionated or vocal. Like, guys' personal coaches, you got to remember, unless he's doing it at the behest of Sean or David Mulligetta at times, then that's understandable. But if it's not, the people that work for you, kind of like Brady's personal trainer guy, what's his name? Alex Guerrero.
Guerrero, yeah.
Like, it does... Their intentions are good, but I feel like sometimes it adds to the complexity, especially here where other teams that are looking at Deshaun might be saying, all right, well, what's the relationship with the personal quarterbacks coach? How is this going to be? Like, are we going to be getting criticized during the season? Well, if things aren't going well, what's the story here?
It's been one of the more frustrating things about this Deshaun Watson journey over the last month or so, since he requested a trade from the Texans, Seth, is that some of the same people who will point out how unprecedented this is, that it's a 25-year-old quarterback who's one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, who's entering his prime, who's under a contract, all these things, and now he wants out, and the team might have to trade him in an unprecedented development in the NFL. Those same people will try to point to other trades that get made, either in the NFL or outside the NFL, and go, well, why isn't Deshaun Watson getting treated the same way? Or they'll try to compare it to Deshaun Watson. And it's like, you just said how unprecedented this is, and you put it perfectly. Matthew Stafford's situation is not the same because of his age. Carson Wentz's situation is not the same because he stunk lately. James Harden is not the same situation as Deshaun. James Harden's demand for a trade and people reacting to it should not elicit the same reaction as Deshaun Watson's demand for a trade. It's different situations.
It's different, but also let's remember, too, that the timeline wasn't that much different for Harden. We haven't – the same amount of time since Deshaun asked for a trade has not elapsed since Harden asked for a trade.
Right.
Plus, Harden actually made it into the regular season. So yeah. Those two are nowhere near comparable. Harden actually – they were into the regular season. Harden was there and not playing well, all of that stuff. So, yeah, they're just not comparable. And that's – I mean, the Texans are in this zone now where no matter what they do, they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. And in this instance, yeah, the Texans trying to figure out a way to reconcile the situation is the appropriate thing to do. Like, they have to scratch and claw and see if there's some sign that somehow they can do it. Because otherwise, what's the hurry? The hurry really gets into like a month before the draft. Yeah. Those weeks leading up to the draft, by then the Texans have to have a really good feel of, okay, is this thing not salvageable whatsoever? Or is there some ray of light? Is there some hope? And then they can make their decision. But to think that somehow the Texans are erring by not trading him right now, that doesn't make any sense.
No. You got to create the interest, create the market. The more and more articles that we see about teams getting thirsty for Deshaun Watson, Jason Lockham-Fora had one yesterday that was outlining just, man, it sounds like David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, is getting ready to give up the sun and the moon for Deshaun Watson. Let some teams get that buying bug going, man. That's if you're going to trade him, that's the right thing to do. If they're going to trade him, the Texans, by saying we have no intention of trading him and not taking phone calls about it, are doing the right thing right now. They're doing the right thing whether they're going to trade him. They're doing the right thing whether they are not going to trade him by digging in right now. That needs to be pointed out.
This JC Prepper character on Twitter, who some people think is a Jack Easterby burner.
Yeah.
I never believe any of it. There are a lot of fake burner accounts, like people pretending to be somebody else. He says, well, Quincy, handling yourself at least slightly professionally is a good start. Then from there, it would have to do with the player having a viable reason, the team having a reason to move the player, and finally, once those are in place, you look for an acceptable compensation.
Oh, yeah.
So
Being finger-wagging at Quincy Avery. We're saying, hey, what's the criteria for trading
Quincy.
A player? Yeah, well, Quincy. All right, most people, speaking of a trade for Deshaun, most people want a slew of picks for Deshaun. I'm going to make a case for players in exchange for Deshaun next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.